Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and my guest this week is Mads Christensen. Hi, Mads.
Hello.
I should say my special guest this week, because this is episode number 75 of this little show.
Congratulations.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. 75 episodes, something like closing up on 4 million views total.
How many
countless
years?
Countless awards. How many years? Two? I think.
Yeah.
I forget. Countless awards, best show on Channel 9, devoted entirely to tools in Visual Studio. I pretty much own that category.
Nice.
Yes. And so Mads is on. Mads, PM on the ASP.NET team.
Yep.
And author of the number 2 most downloaded extension of all time. And the number 1 extension that's not named NuGet Package Manager.
Yes.
Which is Web Essentials.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is.
What are we up to now? About 500,000 views or downloads of Web Essentials.
Yeah, 500,000. So if we take a look at the 2012.
490 as we're taping this.
So
yep.
Probably when you're seeing this, it's going to be over 500,000. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
It is, yeah.
And then there's a new version.
There's a new version for 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And so I basically took all my extensions and upgraded them so they also work in the 2013 preview.
Cool.
So the image optimizer, CSS Cop. CSS Cop, which I think we showed last time I was here, actually it was built for 2010 and I never ever ported it to 2012.
Oh, okay.
But now I have and it also works on 2013.
Yeah, so there's a gap. You were on in, I was checking the archives today, February of 2012 showing Web Essentials for 2010 and the CSS Cop. And then in August that year, August of 2012, you shipped Web Essentials 2012.
Yep.
And for some reason, I didn't have you on the show. Brady didn't have you on webcams.
Yep.
Pretty sure it was personal, but
I'm sure it was.
Kind of apologizing for that. So.
Yep.
I think you said something to somebody. We just said
it happens.
Yeah, I don't know. Or it was just an oversight. I'm not sure which. But now you're on, and rather than do 2012 and then switch over to 2013. You're going to show us Web Essentials 2013, and the things you show are also in 2012, and then you'll tell us when things are new.
Yep.
Something like that?
Yeah. So
cool.
Because most of the stuff is exactly the same as it was in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff I've actually had to remove. So a lot of features now have moved out of Web Essentials because now they're just part of Visual Studio 2013.
Okay.
And that happened through the lifetime of 2012. Because we had a lot of features like the Less Editor, CoffeeScript, PasteJSON as classes. Mm-hmm. They all started in Web Essentials,
yep.
But then in VS Update 2, we rolled them all in to be just official supported by Visual Studio. And they were, and now they're still in Visual Studio 2012, but they're also in 2013.
Cool.
And a lot of small little details have been removed because 2013 has a lot of really, really nice details that Web Essentials used to provide, but mm-hmm. is now natively, and it's across all the different languages and editors in Visual Studio, so that's really good.
So that makes it, especially if you're writing Web Essentials, it's a similar thing happened with the Visual Studio Productivity Power Tools, but, you know, at the time, you know, they had a nice long release cycle, so you write the Productivity Power Tools for 2012, and then a bunch of stuff makes it into 13 quite a while later.
Yes.
But the ASP team has traditionally delivered on a more rapid cadence, and now we're all moving to that.
Yeah.
So do you think that will make it harder to do extensions?
No, I think that will make it easier
okay.
because there will be a lot more things coming in, new features, new extensibility points coming in out of band is what we call it. So
mm-hmm.
like for instance in Visual Studio updates that you can take advantage of. So now you can have your extension and it can do even more and even more and even more. And you can just expand on it. So I think it's actually really good both for extension writers, but also mm-hmm. just for users of Visual Studio in general.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
But so Productivity Power Tools and Web Essentials are quite different.
Yeah.
So the Productivity Power Tools for 2012 was actually released under what's called Dev Labs, which is a little section under the Visual Studio Gallery for mm-hmm. official Microsoft test extensions, right? When Microsoft said, hey, we want to test out if the user is going to like these features, there's this thing called Dev Labs now. And so it was released through there. So it's kind of an official stamp that it got. And it was written by the Visual Studio Core team.
Yes.
whereas Web Essentials is not. It's a completely unofficial extension. There are bugs. We're going to fix them, of course, mm-hmm. as we see them and find them. But it is very much unsupported, and it is a labs feature. So that's really important to stress here.
Okay.
It's not written by the team. It's written by me. So there's a big difference between the two projects. Just
yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And another big difference that we announced at Built was that Web Essentials is now open source. So it's on GitHub. And that means that everyone can participate in building these extensions.
Cool.
So that's really cool. We've already had a lot of pull requests. And it's only been open source for 3 weeks, I think. So it's actually really cool that so many people actually are so interested that they forked it and did a lot of pull requests.
So are you hoping that your role will shift from code writer to project manager? Right now you're you're both, obviously.
Yeah. It will a little bit. Mm-hmm. Same that happened with when I did blogengine.net back in 2006. It was sort of the same thing.
Okay.
Going from being the one who writes code to being the one kind of making sure that only the right things make it in and all those things. Yeah.
Right. Cool. All right.
So, but hopefully we're going to see a much broader set of features because we now have everyone can contribute.
Yep.
And hopefully also we'll see quality goes up. The community have already fixed a lot of my bugs, so that's pretty good.
That's good, yeah.
But hopefully they're going to add more features than I'm able to.
Right.
So we're going to see much faster iterations.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that is exciting.
Yes.
All right, Web Essentials 2013.
Yes. Okay. So, as I said, most of the stuff that we have had in 2012 is still there. So, by and large, everything is the same in terms of Web Essentials. Now, I removed a lot of stuff. Stuff like brace completion, identifier highlighting, and brace matching. All these small little features in CSS and JavaScript are now built into Visual Studio, so all that code has been removed. I don't no longer ship that in Web Essentials. And there's a lot of other like small little detailed features like that that's now gone.
Okay.
But by and large, it's the same. Except for one thing, though. TypeScript is not in. I think we should just talk about that for a second. Because I got this question a lot. there is no TypeScript support in Web Essentials 2013 preview. We used to ship for 2012 TypeScript, so Web Essentials would call the TypeScript compiler and show the preview window, and there would be some other additional features for TypeScript.
Mm-hmm.
So after talking to the TypeScript team, we came up with that it was best not to do that right now during the preview phase of Visual Studio 2013. Because they're getting so close to their final 1.0 release that the compiler might change a little bit, and the way that Web Essentials used to call the TypeScript compiler might not be the right way going forward when they get close to their 1.0 release. So there could be conflicts. They could both try, both the TypeScript tools and Web Essentials could conflict when they try to compile things and so on.
Okay.
So right now we're just backing up a little bit.
So once they ship and have solidified the compiler, then you'll begin the process of putting those features back.
Then we can take a look at what do we then need, because they're adding a lot of features as well.
Sure.
So we're probably not going to bring everything back because it will be in the TypeScript tooling itself.
Okay.
But we'll take a look and get the most requested features in there for sure.
Yep. Okay. Cool.
Yep. All right. So one thing that we have in 2013 that we did not have in 2012 is a brand new HTML editor that is fully extendable. That means that Web Essentials can now hook into HTML in the same way it was able to hook into CSS in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have a lot of tooling in Web Essentials for HTML because we had that old editor. But since we now have the new editor, we can do a lot of fun stuff. So let's just show a little thing here. We've had this for CSS, something very, very simple, that when I hover an image reference, that actually shows the image.
Ah.
But Web Essentials had this for CSS, but now we can do the same sort of things for HTML. And of course, we can also base64 encode.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do we have? Insert width and height. Stuff like this. So some of this is actually built into the editor now, but it's really, really powerful. And we can do smart tags. We can do all sorts of really cool stuff. So here's one that I wrote. Convert an image to a figure. And we can augment our HTML and our HTML tree very, very easily now. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see a lot of stuff coming in as Web Essentials 2013 progresses. We're going to see a lot more HTML focus. We do have some a few cool things here I want to show you. So let's say that I have a meta tag here, like this one. Mm-hmm. What we can do now is that we can provide context-aware intelligence. So the content attribute here now gives you intelligence, true, false, for this specific name.
Nice.
Okay. So it only shows up for the MS application allow domain API calls. So that's pretty nice. And if we can take another one here. So Twitter card. See here, we get different intelligence.
Cool. Yep.
Specific to Twitter cards.
Very nice.
Yeah. So very, very context-aware and dynamic. And this is an area where I really want to explore to make it so easy so that people don't have to go to a browser, a search engine, and figure out what are the possible values for all of this stuff. But it just flows through intelligence and potentially validation as well.
Yep.
So that's really cool. So let's move into CSS.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was one thing that I always wanted to do for Web Essentials in 2012. And it wasn't really possible before we got the new HTML editor. And it's also very one of the very high requested features on user voice for Web Essentials. And that is to have attribute IntelliSense. So here's how that works. So let's say I have an input. Notice here you get IntelliSense for the HTML elements. As soon as I open the brace here, we can actually see that we get completion. But what this completion is, it's the attribute names of input.
For input, right.
And only for input. Nothing else. So we can say type equals email, for instance. So we get this very, very context-aware IntelliSense again. And all this is actually derived from the HTML editor. So now the CSS editor is able to ask the HTML editor for IntelliSense for specific elements and tags and attributes and so on. So that is really, really cool. And that also means that whenever we update the HTML schema, you know, new standards come out, new tags are available and so on from the
You'll
W3C,
automatically get these here.
This automatically pops
right.
up. Now, if we didn't have any input element here, that we just have the attribute standalone, the list is now different. It shows all the attributes available for all HTML elements.
Okay.
So here's a lot. So I can still do type, but type now holds a lot more because it's not restricted to the input element. So I get type, I think these are for link tags, some here for audio, there's some video further down here. But of course I also have for my input type, so email is still here.
Mm-hmm.
So very cool, and I hope that a lot of people are gonna like this. This is the final, this is the missing piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
For selector IntelliSense, we do have IntelliSense for class names and IDs and HTML elements and pseudo elements, but this is the first time we now have it for attributes.
Cool.
So now it's IntelliSense everywhere for CSS, basically. So really nice. So Robert, you build websites, and so sometimes you want to set some margin on some element on your web page, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you, for instance, you would write something like this. 3 pixels, 5 pixels, 0.
Yeah.
Or you would see this. And so you're thinking to yourself, 3 pixels, 5 pixels, 0, and you're imagining this box model. So the 3 pixels, is that top?
Yeah.
Or bottom? Or, you know, what? There's 3 values, so some of these values must apply to more than one side of the box.
Right.
And this is just driving a lot of people crazy that they don't know what this is. And so what we've done here is that we now have overloaded the IntelliSense.
Oh.
So you see here, we can actually show the first line where it says syntax. Notice the values here in the example. 3 pixels, 5 pixels, 0. Those are your own values. Those are the ones you just typed in here.
Yes.
And then at the bottom here in the tooltip, we see what they apply to. The top is the 3 pixels, 5 pixels goes to right and left, and 0 goes to the bottom.
Yeah, that's not the way XAML does it. In XAML, the 0 would have applied to the last two. You would have had, when you said left, top, right, bottom. So in XAML, that would be 3 left, 5 top, and 0 for the right and the bottom.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not how it works here.
Right. Well, that's an why this feature is even more exciting. So somebody who's coming over to this and doing this for the first time doesn't have it drilled into their head that that's how it worked, now gets to see this.
But even people that have built websites for many, many years, I know, because they tell me, still have issues, especially with margin and padding, if there's 3 values.
Yep.
The 3 values is always the one that confuses people. So not anymore. Now we got you covered here, and we help out. And so this works for margin, it works for padding, border radius, even for font and background. There is more intelligence now to show you kind of what your values actually mean. So that's the sort of thing we want to try, right?
Yeah.
So Web Essentials for me is a way to first be much more productive by not having me go to search engines or look up references or finding a previous project where I remember I did something similar, but that I'm just presented with. So I'm happy. If I'm staying in Visual Studio and I'm productive, I'm happy.
Yes.
Developer happiness, right? That is so important. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is the details. There are so many details that we kind of take for granted that we have to find some workaround. Consider them like tiny paper cuts.
Mm-hmm.
The more tiny paper cuts we can remove, the happier you'll be.
Right.
But a lot of them you don't even know that you get cut by, basically.
Yep.
So that's sort of what we try to do here. So we have even more, of course. So let's actually create a transform here. I can now hit tab, and we get all the vendor specifics here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually built into Visual Studio. This particular thing here is built in.
Okay.
but what we've added here is a way to align through Web Essentials. We can align all these vendor specifics. So if I type in the standard one, the bottom one here, then they all sort of just falls in line. So that's really, really helpful. And the thing about these whole vendor specifics is that it's really difficult to know when to use them and when not to use them.
Right.
And so in this case with the transform, we actually have 4 different vendor specifics. But for other things, you don't need 4. You only need 3. Let's see if we can find one. Transition. Here you only have 3. Mm-hmm. But how would you know unless you know? It's really difficult to figure these things out.
Border radius, which used to need them and now doesn't need any at all.
Border radius does not need it.
But it did at one point, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So there is no snippet anymore. Yes. That's because we updated the schema files. So that's another good thing about Web Essentials, and that is that it will a couple of times a week, it will ask for any updates to schema.
Okay.
To CSS intelligence and validation, and it will download that automatically without you having to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to restart Visual Studio for to apply. And that's how we lost the vendor specifics for border radius, that there was an update. I had a cutoff point. It turned out that the vendor specifics, the Mozilla and the WebKit for border radius, is actually not needed since Firefox 4, I believe, or 3.6, and for Safari 2 or something.
Uh-huh.
So they were so old that it no longer made sense to support that old of a browser, that it was better just to remove it.
Okay.
Right. So we're going to remove stuff as new things come out and it becomes too much of a legacy issue. Then we're going to remove it. And we're going to introduce new vendor specifics as new one comes out.
So does that, if you had code that had the vendor specifics in there for border radius, is your code now broken?
Yep. It would tell you that these have now been deprecated, then you should remove them.
Okay.
Yep. But we can go the other way around. Here I'm deleting one. And now I get an error saying, if I hover it, it will actually say that missing vendor specific property for transition, I'm missing the WebKit, is what it's saying.
Okay, so let's review what those icons are.
Oh, okay. Let's get back to that in one minute. Let me just finish this. So we have this error. And we have a smart tag. So I can just say, add missing vendor specifics.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And WebKit is back. icons.
Yeah.
So as I hover, let's see if I can zoom in here. So as I hover, all the properties, we get to know the browser support matrix. And for the properties that is kind of new, maybe CSS3, we also have the version number of each browser.
So that's the minimum version that this is supported in?
That's right.
Right.
If there is a browser range, it would also show that. Some features have been supported and then removed.
And then brought back.
Some properties have been, they actually only worked in Firefox 3 through 14. And then support was dropped again.
Got it.
So I think the first one actually that they removed support for was the border radius, Mozilla border radius. Yeah. So I don't think that actually works in the later ones.
Okay.
I could be mistaken, but yeah. But they would show up. It would tell you these things. So yeah, this is pretty handy for sure.
So how fluid are things like that? How often are things like this changing?
It used to change a lot. A year ago, 2 years ago, it was very much in flux, and it was something we had to update all the time. But the CSS3 specification has stabilized. A lot of the different CSS3 modules that comes out of W3C, a module could be borders and backgrounds,
right.
Table module, the transition module, transforms, animation module, and so on. They have all sort of been stabilized, and a lot of them are actually now proper recommendations. Some of them are still candidates for recommendations.
Right.
And only a few of them, well, actually a lot of them are still working draft, but they've been sort of stable for a while.
Okay.
So, and the new browsers coming out have adopted all these things, but because they just adopt the standard, we already have the right information. We just need to change the browser support matrix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So this should make it a lot easier if you're dealing with CSS, right? Because you have, multiple browsers, because we now have a tool that helps us out. And you saw here, if I'm missing one vendor specific, as we saw here, I got this error. Let's say that I open a document for the first time, a CSS document for the first time after installing Web Essentials. I could potentially have hundreds of these errors.
Sure.
So we do have shortcuts. If I right-click in my CSS file, we can see that I actually have the option here to add missing vendor specifics, add missing standards, remove duplicates.
And that'll go throughout the whole thing.
And it will apply to the entire file. Right. So there are shortcuts here.
Yep.
So let's do this guy again, just to see here. It still works, right? We get the hover here on the image. So I actually get this question when I show this hover, and then afterwards I show the Base64 encoding. Some people call it Base64 inlining. We have it right here. So now Base64 inlined the image. We automatically support still IE 6 and 7 by introducing this other line, which is basically the exact same as it was before,
right.
But it has this little star in front of it. That means that it only applies to IE 6 and 7. There was a bug in IE 6 and 7, believe it or not.
And no.
So, but you can delete that line if you don't want it. So let's just do that. So
and if you hover over that, do you still see the image?
Of course.
There you go. All right.
That's exactly what I want to show.
Yeah. Nice setup.
Yes. Thank you.
Cool.
So that's really nice. So we also have some features that are not HTML or CSS specific. Some of them are JavaScript specific. And actually, I've removed a lot of the JavaScript specific ones that I did have in Web Essentials for the 2013 version because it's now supported.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have some JavaScript? Let's add some JavaScript, shall we? There we go. It's your file now.
Excellent.
So one of the things that we used to have in Web Essentials was stuff like outlining. Outlining for arrays, not for functions. Functions was actually built into 2012, but for arrays and other like if statements and so on.
Mm-hmm.
All that is now built in. We have here brace matching. So here,
yep.
As I'm close to one brace, the other one lights up. if I type here, so if true. So here I open the curly brace and it automatically closes it for me. That is now built in as well. If I hit enter, we get the right smart indentation and formatting as we would expect. So again, something that we've removed out of Web Essentials and is now just built in. So one thing that people have been asking for is regions.
Yeah. That's going to be a very handy feature in JavaScript code, which is not always as readable as you might wish, especially if you're coming from other languages.
Exactly. So now now we have that here, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are going to be happy about that. And we actually took it one step further, because if you don't want to use regions, don't use regions. Some people don't like them. That's okay. A lot of people do like them, though. And so we also added it to the Web in Web Essentials, we added it to HTML as well.
Cool.
Oh yeah. Like this, right? We can collapse our region. So that's new for 2013, that we have these things in here. So since I'm
Why typically do people not like them?
I don't know. I don't know. I think people think they're noisy and they're hiding stuff and make it more difficult to
kind
of...
That's why I like them, because you get to hide stuff.
Yeah. I agree. I like them too. But yeah.
Okay.
Some people don't like them. Yeah. What can I say? Okay. So let's look at some other features.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going to stay here in HTML. Some of it will be a little bit HTML specific, but some of it will not. So we do have features now in 2013 that are more broad, that are not specific to web development necessarily, but will work in C# and XML and any text-based language that you have in in Visual Studio. So let's try SendCoding. SendCoding was introduced in 2012, and they actually showed it on the keynote at Build.
Yes.
Hanselman was showing it. That was really cool. So it allows me to do some cool stuff here. So let's create a section tag with a div inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's add 5 li elements, each with 3 words of lorem ipsum text. I'm going to hit tab, and it's going to expand out to this. So that's really cool.
So when I first saw this, the first thing I thought was, oh, well, aren't these just code snippets? But it's more than code snippets, because you could obviously make a code snippet that does this, but then you'd have to make a different snippet for when you want 2 line items and 3 line items and 4 line items. So this being more of a language, it's more of like dynamic snippets or something along those lines. It's a lot more powerful than it looked when I first looked at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it there are similarities. If you do very simple stuff in SendCoding, you could use snippet instead. But if you do like I do here, I produce multiple values and so on, then that's when SendCoding really
shines. Even here, you don't have to write the snippet, right? If you create a snippet, you have to create the snippet yourself, and then you have to remember what you called it, and then you have to adopt a naming convention that's consistent, whereas this has already done all that work for you.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's very cool.
So here are some things that we can do now.
It's sneakily cool, I would say.
Yes. So let me change this div, and I want to show you this because in 2012, this was my favorite feature. It's actually built into 2012, but I want to show it because it's just my favorite feature of the entire product. And don't laugh at me. That when I change...
Why would I laugh?
When I change the start tag, the end tag follows along.
Sweet. You know what my favorite feature of the whole product was?
What?
Quick launch.
Oh, yes. I love that. I use that every day. It's really cool. So, yeah, I just wanted to show that. So... this code I have here obviously is incorrect, and we get these errors.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I forgot to add the UL element. So if I want to get to the UL, if I want to add a UL element, I can just do it manually, like I've always been able to, or we can do something a little bit smarter. So we've implemented a few features in Web Essentials to help out with a few things. So if I want to add the UL element around my LI elements, I would have to somehow select all my LI elements.
Yeah.
So I could do that with the mouse, like this. Or I could use the Alt key and hit the one key to expand selection. And every time I hit that key combination, it just selects up the tree.
Nice.
And I can hit Alt 2, and we can walk back down the tree again, all the way down to where I started.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it really easy. Now I can just do Alt 1 1, and here I have my LIs. I can say Alt Shift W for surround width, and here I can do whatever I want.
Right.
Because remember what I just showed, if I change the start tag, the end tag changes too.
Yes.
So this could now be done like this. So
and
a productivity helper here for sure.
Are there right menu choices for all these, or are they all keyboard shortcuts?
There are. I'm going to show you that.
Okay.
I just want to show you one last thing. We all have had this issue before, and this is one of those things that I was talking about, those little paper cuts that you probably don't even know that you need.
Right.
So let me know what you think about this. Again, remember Web Essentials is where we test out features. So this is one of those features, and so you can be the first tester here.
Okay.
What do you think about this? I want to get rid of my section element, but I want to keep whatever is inside of it. So I could delete it manually, and then I could format the document so I would take my entire nav and move it to the left,
so
right?
You could manually delete section, manually delete the closing section, hope you didn't accidentally delete something you didn't want to delete, and then rearrange everything.
Yes.
Or
open a smart tag saying remove and keep children.
That is cool.
And it does exactly
all that
manual work for you.
That is cool.
You like that?
Yes.
Should we keep it?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And then what you should do is go over and get the XAML guys to add some of this stuff to XAML editing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've actually looked at doing send coding for XAML. So it's totally possible.
XAML Essentials.
It is totally possible. Send coding, actually, the component that I use in Web Essentials is open source. It's on GitHub as well.
Right.
So you can add the XAML if you want to. What I found out, though, is that it has to be done in a very different way than what I've done for HTML.
No doubt.
So
no doubt.
Otherwise, I would have done it already. Okay, so let's say I open a file. Someone sends me a file, right? Or I copy-paste something in.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks all weird. It has, like, empty lines. It even have, like, duplicate entries. And it's kind of just all messed up.
Okay.
So let's make a selection here. Because what I want to do is that I want to kind of take my lines and tweak them a bit. Because I want to remove my duplicate lines. I want to remove the empty lines. And I want to just sort these lines alphabetically. And I'm going to make my selection. And whatever the selection touches are the affected lines. So even though I don't select the entire top line here or the bottom, those two lines are included because they're touched by the selection.
Right.
So I can now right-click and say selected lines. Let me zoom in here. Selected lines. Remove empty lines, for instance. And it removes the empty lines. I can do that again and say remove duplicates. And finally, I can say, sort ascending.
Nice.
So these selected lines I was just showing you here, is not HTML specific. They work in all editors, C#, XML, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to probably add more to this, like combining lines and so on. So if you have any ideas that would be like not specific to HTML or anything else, but just be really good tools to have for rearranging lines of code, please write a comment under this video, because it's definitely something we want in here. We do have other stuff here. So again, this is something that I never really showed, but encode selection and transform selection. So encode selection. Again, this is all editors, all languages in Visual Studio, not only HTML. But we can HTML encode and decode and URL encode and so on. Makes it easy sometimes when we want quick access to these encoding features. Mm-hmm. They're just shortcuts.
Yep.
But when you need them, it's just really painful to either write a little REBL or to go online. Someone has a web service that does that for you, right? Now we can just do it in here. And here's one that I never got any feedback on. Till this day, I have never had any feedback on this one called transform selection. And so no one has said they wanted it or didn't want it. So let's actually, but basically what it allows me to do is something as fantastic as MD5 hash my selection. It is not a common user scenario. Granted. But I've actually used this.
So could you use this, you know, if you're setting up like an Azure mobile service, you have to embed in your code the secret key. And there are other places you have to embed the secret keys, right? You're calling some of the APIs like Rotten Tomatoes or any of those sites. Yep. And you know, by default, you embed the secret key in your code, which is not best practice, but then figuring out a way to not embed the secret code in your code is an awful lot of work.
Yep.
Is this a way to get around that?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually used it for hashing passwords. You know, you store passwords hashed, not in clear text.
Mm-hmm.
And some places in clear text, you just write what your password's going to be.
Right.
And then you're just going to select that, right click, and say hash using MD5 or whatever it is that algorithm is needed. You know? So,
well, there's some feedback. I think this is very useful.
So, if you have any feedback on this, should we remove it? Should we keep it? I don't know.
But then I guess the next question is what I just talked about a crutch for avoiding a bad practice in the first place? Do we just make it easier to have a bad practice, or should we just make people do the best practice?
You know what?
Good question.
I don't want to change people's workflow.
Yeah.
Right. Wherever people are, whatever they're comfortable with, I don't want to say you're doing it wrong. First of all, who am I to say that? Instead, if I can help you being more productive in however way you want, whatever way your workflow is, that's what I want to do instead. So I try not to be the one judging if you're doing it right or wrong.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So a question that I get a lot that I should probably answer like properly and and demoing it is the whole idea of settings. So we do have settings for Web Essentials. So let me just show them. I'm going to use Quick Launch.
Cool.
Control Q, and we can just search for Web Essentials here. And where do we have options? Here we go. So in my Tools menu here, we have the Web Essentials node, and in here we have different settings.
So now, here's a question for you. Have you thought about syncing these? You've thought about this. What's your current thinking on syncing these in Visual Studio 2013?
See, so I don't know if I can do that, if third-party extensions can be part of the whole roaming with your Microsoft account and all that.
Mm.
Maybe they can. Maybe I should ask
some
questions.
Well, you're kind of like a second party. Because you work here.
Well, I guess. Well, it is officially third party,
yes.
Right? So, but there's nothing in here that can't be done by any of you guys. Right? Mm. There's nothing specific here that is like only allowed for specific sanctioned extension or anything. Everything you see here, you can do yourself and write your own extensions doing these things.
Right.
What I did in 2012 before we had this whole roaming was I think. For some cases, it's better, and for some cases, maybe not so good.
So then what I'll recommend is that the people who are using this should get on User Voice and request that. Don't tell them that I set you up on this, of course. But get on User Voice and request the ability for additional things to sync. I mean, right now it's a very cool feature, but there's a, you might say, reasonably small list of things that sync. It would be nice to see that opened
up. So visualstudio.uservoice.com.
This would be a way to gently nudge that team.
Yes. I'll vote for it. If you create the ticket, I'll vote for it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Because...
And then I'll deny everything, even though this is on video.
Well, you can cut it out, I guess. Be careful there. Okay, so, no, what I thought of instead, and this was actually because a lot of people were kind of asking for this approach, was settings often follow the solution, not the user.
Yep.
Right? It's not even on a team. Right? You can have a team that, let's say you have 10 developers, but the settings for each of their projects still might be different. So what I'm doing instead is saying that the settings are either global, or, you know, global just like the regular Visual Studio settings are, or they follow the project. So the way we do that is that you can right-click your project or your solution node out here, go to the Web Essentials tab and say Create Solution Settings.
Ah.
And when you do that,
there you go.
We create a WE Web Essentials Settings XML file, mm-hmm. which basically is just exactly the settings that you had before in Web Essentials. It just basically takes a dump of them and adds and stores them with your solution file. So if we open it, we can just see here's
all the settings. So it's manual syncing, basically.
It's manual, but if we go back into settings, should we change something?
Sure.
Let's change this to false. And I hit OK. We have to update that one, but before we do that, solution settings updated. So when you change the settings using the UI that I just showed here, it will know whether or not to apply those settings to your global store or to your solution. So it depends on what solution you have open or whether or not you have kind of exported these settings into your solution.
Right. Sweet.
Yeah. So now they roam with the solution. And I actually want this for all my settings.
Yeah.
Right? Not just for WebAssembly. I want this for all the settings.
Yes.
So I hope that they're listening over there in Visual Studio Land.
Yep.
So let's just reload this, it's fine.
Yeah, because you want to sync your global settings so that when you install Visual Studio on a new machine or you repave your machine, you get your settings. But then you do want settings at a project basis. So if I open up a project on a different machine, I would want the ability to decide I just want the settings to change while this project is open.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So
which will then address, as I guess a way of addressing one of my long-standing requests, which is essentially the ability to skin the product because I will have, you know, two different versions, two instances of Visual Studio open, and I'll have the same project in VB and C#, because I'm doing the exact same thing in both languages. And because I've found in cases I've switched back and forth and it's not immediately obvious to me which one I'm in, right? Or you've got the 2012 version of a project open and the 2013 version of a project open. And 2013, they've done some stuff in the IDE to make it look a little different. Mm-hmm. But to be able to, you know, say, I'm using Lucida, my VB code's in Lucida, and my C# code is in Consolus, then it's pretty immediately obvious. Or for this particular project, version 2 of this project, anyway.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. I agree. So I think I've showed you a few. So we went over some editor things, some settings. So we have some settings or some features that are like more project specifics. So for instance, if I have multiple CSS files and multiple JavaScript files, which all modern web apps seem to have, then you very quickly run into performance issues with having too much content to send over the wire.
Yep.
All your CSS, you probably have like thousands of lines of CSS and maybe tens of thousands of lines of JavaScript, and that's problematic. So there are solutions. We have the System Web Optimization framework in ASP.NET that bundles and minifies and all that stuff. And there are some very good third-party solutions as well. What I found is that some people, and myself included, sometimes I'd just rather have static files. I don't want my CSS files to be served through a preprocessor. I just like them to be served statically.
Okay.
That makes the whole CDN scenarios more easy as well. So what we have in Web Essentials is that I can select multiple CSS files, for instance. I'm going to show it with CSS, but the exact same thing is possible with JavaScript. So I'm just going to select two. And if I right-click, here we go. And if I right-click, I can say Create CSS Bundle File.
Yeah.
Let's give it a name. Call it Robert again. There we go. And so we now have a bundle file. I can see I actually have a bug here. That's really, really unfortunate. Remember that Web Essentials 2013 preview is
a preview. It's a preview, exactly.
Yes.
Hence the name
preview.
Yes. Okay?
So you do have the ability to handle all your bundling and minification statically within VS.
Cool.
And also, if you don't want bundles, you just want minification. We can do the same. Just take a single JavaScript file or CSS file and say minify. And it will create the min file underneath in the tree over here.
Yep.
So every time you make a change to the CSS file up here, this, the min file updates automatically. So you just reference the min file,
right?
But you edit in the source file.
Sure.
So that's really handy.
Yep. Yeah.
And of course, we still have all the nice colors. We show the colors here. Yep. If you click that, this is again Web Essentials. We didn't have time to actually build that in to 2013. The little color icon, but it's still in Web Essentials, so that's good. You know, you can just get the latest, and we're good. But you have the entire color picker here.
Right.
And as earlier, if you hold down Control Shift and use the arrows up and down, you can take color values and lighten or darken.
Oh.
That is really handy because sometimes that's just what you want.
Yeah.
And we can do the same with numbers. Like this. So Control Shift up and down.
Do you have the ability to highlight a number of colors and have them all go up and down at the same time?
No.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. Yep. So some of the things that we're going to explore a lot more is this more project or holistic project-wise feature enablement that we now are able to do, which might not be specific to CSS or specific to HTML or to JavaScript, mm-hmm. but to your entire project. And it kind of crosses the boundaries between these languages and so on. So let me give you an example. In Visual Studio 2013, we now have IntelliSense for AngularJS. So I can mark my page here as an Angular app, ng-app. Mm-hmm. And let's mark this div as an ng-controller and give it a name. What should we call it? Robert. Yeah, you're popular. So that's all good, right? These new features that we have, since we now have the HTML editor being completely extendable, and the same with CSS and JavaScript and so on, we can now start to be holistic about this and look at it from a more, from the point of view of what is your intent? What is it that you want to do with your app?
Okay.
And so one of the things that you want to do when you have code like this is that you want to add the JavaScript controller. So why not add the JavaScript controller from where you actually are in your code? In this case, you're in HTML. So we have a smart tag here that notices that you have ng-controller.
Mm-hmm.
And it just says add new Angular controller. And yeah, we can just save it. Notice here how it says robert.js.
Yep.
We actually have one. I'm going to overwrite you.
Oh, well.
Okay.
A new and improved version of me.
Yeah, here we go. Right, and it has Robert in here. So okay. This is just a prototype. Again, need your feedback on this. But this whole idea of being able to go back and forth, figuring out what is your intent, and being one step ahead and helping you out, whether it being AngularJS or whatever it could be, right? And so now I'm instantiating this whole feature set from within HTML. It could be from CSS, from JavaScript, from right-clicking, or, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's probably the next sort of big list of features that I want to explore more,
mm-hmm.
to be more holistic and see the project more over like a lifetime and see how we can help you maintain and generate code and so on.
Very cool.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
That was awesome. Cool.
Yeah. Yep.
So that is WebEssentials 2013 preview. Lots of things that you saw in there were in the 2012 version. You saw some stuff that's new to 2013.
Yep.
If you're one of the apparently handful of people who are not using this, go ahead and download it. Let's see if we can get that number even higher.
And if you're really into that whole web development thing, which you are, I assume, then don't start with WebEssentials. You should also check out Image Optimizer and CSS Cop.
Mm-hmm.
And voice commands. Voice commands is just generally a good thing to have. It's a way for you to control Visual Studio using your voice.
Did you see dangerous. That? I did see it. I haven't played with it yet.
You haven't played with it?
Yeah.
Can I show it?
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold down Alt and then V for voice. And then you can't say anything because it has to listen to my voice. Okay. Options. Let me make some weird stuff here. Let me make the, here. So I'm going to format the document. But I don't remember the shortcut key. You know, we always forget.
Yeah.
There's a billion shortcut keys, right? So Alt V. Format document.
Nice.
Yes. So we can kind of control all of Visual Studio with the voice. So, and this works for 2012 and 2013.
So when I mistype something, if I mistype a class name, if I press Alt V and I say, oh, you know what I meant, will it fix it?
yeah, well, actually, you can use you can actually use the built-in Visual Studio voice recognition system to do that.
Okay.
Which is what Voice Commands uses under the hood, but you can just use its stock, and then you would actually be able to dictate code to the window.
Cool.
Yeah. So, just a little extra thing. They're all available on the Visual Studio Gallery.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. That was awesome.
Cool.
What an excellent 75th episode of this show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that. Lots of great stuff. Always good to have you on.
Always good to be here.
Have you on again soon.
I hope so.
And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.